Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Come to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening all over North America. I hope you're well. I hope you're smooth. I hope you are great. I hope you are terrific. Happy Monday to you. We're getting ready to close up week 4 of the NFL season. We got Monday Night Football action tonight. A matter of minutes, about 15 minutes from now, we got the New York Jets taking on the Miami Dolphins. In an hour from now, we got the Burrowless Bengals taking on the 1-2 Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are trying to turn things around. These Bengals are trying to keep the train rolling with Browning and not Burrow. 888-710-4ISN is the number. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. Hit pause, hit rewind. You can listen on SiriusXM 375 on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. A smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. And we've been here for an hour. Yeah, I get started 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We talked about Dallas and the Packers tying it up last night and Micah's return to the D. We had a chat. Thank you so much to Cordell Woodland for joining us. From 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, we have no update on Lamar Jackson's hamstring. He could be out a week, could be out longer than that. Baltimore Ravens fall to 1-3. It does not look good. Teams that have gone 1-3 have a 15% chance of making a postseason. The Ravens are going to try to be in that group. They want to be in that 15%, not the 85, okay? I'm going to give you an update on Brock Purdy. He's not doing too good. Played yesterday against the Jaguars, had 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions, got strip sacked, fumbled, and then he says, my foot hurts. Well, he was already dealing with turf toe. Malik Nabers is hurt. And man, tonight, Justin Fields coming back from a concussion. The NFL is a violent game, and you knew this already. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist everywhere. At JR Sport Brief, New York Jets and Dolphins. How exciting this is going to be. Evenly matched teams, 2 bad teams. The New York Jets are 0-3. The Miami Dolphins are 0-3. They're trying to avoid an 0-4 start. The New York Jets, sucks for them. No Justin Fields in the last game. Out with a concussion. Today he goes out here and makes his return. Meanwhile, the Miami Dolphins, the last time we saw them, Tua was telling everybody that Josh Allen could do things that he cannot. And then Josh Allen proceeded to do so. The Buffalo Bills went out there and smacked up these Miami Dolphins for the whole country to see, 31-21. You know, typically in boxing, you know, they say somebody's O has got to go. Somebody today, tonight, is going to pick up a victory. The New York Jets look like they got close against Tampa Bay, and in a field goal, put them away. Let's see what they can do with Justin Fields back and Tyrod Taylor on the bench. Let's see if Tua can bounce back. And somebody take a microphone away from Tua. Tua's been saying some crazy things. Well, listen to Tua now. Talk about the urgency tonight heading into Monday Night Football.
We can't start 0-3. Nonetheless, we don't want to start 0-4. And so we're doing all we can, you know, to prepare all the guys that are needed to go in there. You know, defensively, offensively. That's kind of what we're trying to hone in on.
Yeah, well. He says, well, at least he made a statement without putting his foot in his mouth. You know, I don't think we would expect him to say, Justin Fields can do things I can't. We know he can't. Justin Fields can't hold a starter's job like Tua, but that's a different conversation. Meanwhile, Aaron Glenn says, yeah, we suck. And tonight, I think we'll be better.
The first game, how our guys came out, you know, did a pretty good job. We got punched in the mouth in the second game. Third game, our guys responded very, very well and played hard, played fast, played physical, and had a chance to win the game. So this week, I'm expecting, you know, more improvement. And that's more than anything what I'm looking for.
Progress is a slow process. The New York Jets' progress is going to extend past this season. Don't expect a lot from the Jets. I told you at least Justin Fields is back. He spoke to the media. In your concussion protocol, you can't talk to the media. Why? For what? This is what he said about his concussion and dealing with it.
And it wasn't scary. It was just different. Like I said, it was my first one. I didn't expect some of the symptoms. I didn't expect them to be as bad as they were. But like I said, I'm glad I'm happy now. And I'm glad I'm well now. And yeah, there you go.
Yeah, concussion's not good. Vomiting, headaches, sensitivity to light, that's just a start for a concussion and a brain injury. Not something that anybody wants to deal with. But he's back. You heard from Tua talk about how big this game is for the New York Jets. Do the Jets want to go 0-4? Oh, hell no. Justin Fields, he knows it.
We both have yet to get a win this season, so it's a big game for both of us. On a Monday night, not much of a bigger stage either. So, you know, I know we're going in there to, you know, win by any means. And they're probably doing the same thing. So, like I said, we're excited, we're prepared, and I'm ready to go.
At least the New York Jets get a trip to Miami. It's a business trip. They're not hanging out at the beach. They're not. Well, by the way, how are you a Pittsburgh Steeler in Ireland? You're the backup. You're not playing, and you get robbed and beat up and jumped. We'll get into that. There's a lot of uncertainty about the Steelers. At least the Steelers walked away with a victory. Yeah, Skylar Thompson beaten up and robbed. Boccia, you didn't go to Ireland to do it, did you?
No. Well, I also have to question why a person on IR would travel with the team. So there's a lot of stuff.
Why not? Come on.
He's not playing.
You just say stay home, don't go to Ireland? Like, what type of jerk stuff is that? Come on.
I don't know. It saves a little bit of money.
Who saves who money?
I don't know. It saves the team some money for his ticket and hotel.
Bro.
But it's also, I get it. You want to go to Ireland for the experience.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for you to really be there unless you want to, I guess,
see. He's part of the team. He's not in concussion protocol. He might be now. Well, not he got apparently maybe possibly jumped in Ireland. Damn, Boccia. You, what are you, an accountant?
I don't know. I'm just saying this helps. I wouldn't question if the Bengals didn't fly players that were hurt.
Well, the Bengals, we know they're cheap, but typically I don't think NFL teams are worried about the expenses of one airline ticket. So we'll see. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. Pittsburgh going out there and beating Minnesota. Carson Wentz, 2 interceptions. Pittsburgh won yesterday in Ireland, 24-21. Speaking of tonight's Monday Night Football game, I expect the Miami Dolphins to win. The New York Jets, one thing that they haven't been able to do consistently yet is put up points. I'm not expecting that to go ahead and change tonight. I'm not. I think we might have a good game. A lot of turnovers and big plays because these are two bad teams. And so don't expect a lot of resistance. Let's put it that way. I'd be surprised if this game was anything more than just a goofy-looking shootout with a lot of turnovers. It could be, you know, I don't know, a 24-21 game. It could be 30-30. This is going to be in 30-29, whatever the heck you want to call it, 30-27. This is going to be an interesting watch. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Somebody who also needs to be wary of this game is Mike McDaniel. Because every game that he loses, especially if it's real bad or real ugly, he could be shown the door. I think Mike McDaniel is on borrowed time. Head coach of the Miami Dolphins, as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Listen to this man. Is he inspiring to you?
I want to know this week, and that when you focus on that, which is what you have to do in the National Football League. Morale is pretty high because your collective focus is going in one direction.
Okay, so forget the fact that we're 0-3 and that we've sucked. Let's try to be 1-0. I guess he's right. You can only take it a game at a time, right? Nothing else. Sauce Gardner. I mean, he got a big old contract, one of the top cornerbacks in the game. He's not worried about too much.
I think we're extremely close. You know, it's so easy to just look at our record and just get down, you know, or just like complain. Like, I'm talking about just from the outside. But reality is, we're like a stop away from being 2-1.
Oh, man. What stop? The reality says that you're not, man. What's up with some of these New York teams? They're not. At least the New York Giants, they got a little bit of hope, right? They got Jackson Dart out there. You got the head coach Brian Daboll is having a time of his life, loves the guy, loves his moxie, his swagger. The guy is running around with a mullet, a turtleneck, and a giant chain. How could you not like Jackson Dart? Giants went out there, beat the Chargers 21-18 at MetLife. Jackson Dart throwing for a touchdown, running for a touchdown. Jackson Dart dancing, having a time of his life. Over the past 24 hours, he has the best-selling jersey in the entire NFL. It looks like the Giants, it's one game. He didn't turn the ball over, God bless him. It's one game. The Giants might have their quarterback of the future. Giants got a little bit of life, and it looks like Brian Daboll has some life as well. You got to be happy with these results. Brian Daboll just loves Jackson Dart. He thinks he is the man. He loves how he leads the squad.
Yeah, I think we got a very good relationship. You know, outside the building, inside the building, when we're talking about football, I think he's a unique guy in terms of being able to build relationships amongst his teammates and other people in the building. A lot of people have a lot of trust in him. You know, you meet with these guys quite frequently. And I think it's important, you know, probably the most important thing, that the quarterback can freely express things that he likes and doesn't like. And you try to stay away from the things that they don't like and give them the things that they like so they feel comfortable.
Well, let me tell you something. I've never heard Brian Daboll talk that glowingly about anybody, any football player. Like, he loves this guy. And then you saw the reaction at the end of the game after the victory. He's slapping him in the chest. He's hugging him. He's hitting him in the head. He staked his career onto this dude. And he may keep his career and may have this guy's, may help him keep his job. Jackson Dart might do for Brian Daboll. Jackson Dart, he spoke to the media. And listen to this. He said, you know who helped him? Russell Wilson helped him get ready for this game. Listen.
A big shout out to Russ. You know, I know that this week probably wasn't the easiest thing, but he handled it like a professional and just was a mentor for me. So, you know, obviously just have a ton of respect for him. And it goes for Jameis as well, just getting me prepared for this week.
Yeah, not bad, right? You're in a quarterback room with two experienced quarterbacks, a guy who's been to multiple Super Bowls, a guy who's risen to the top of the college ranks and has been good in the NFL, then also bad in the NFL. Now, the New York Giants have a lot of experience in the quarterback room, good, bad, and everything in between. This is a good situation for Jackson Dart. What's a bad thing for the New York Giants is that they will not have Malik Nabers for the rest of the season, maybe into the beginning of next year. Yeah, the Giants picked up their first victory to go 1-3. Their next opponent, New Orleans. They're going to miss a guy from Louisiana. Malik Nabers out for the season with a torn ACL. It has been confirmed. He's gone. And it sucks for one of the top wide receivers in the entire game. Jackson Dart says, yeah, when that guy went down, it was hard to continue the game.
From that moment, you know, obviously it's really hard seeing, you know, one of your best friends go down. But we were able to rally, and I thought guys made some good plays. But, you know, obviously just prayers to him.
Well, yeah, prayers to him. And you know what? We're gonna dive a little deeper into this tomorrow. I want to talk about the turf. I want to get into the field because, in particular, the turf at MetLife Stadium, it doesn't matter when it's been changed out, there have been a lot of injuries. We've had NFL players, it happens every year, they harp on the turf and the field conditions. It was a couple of weeks ago, unrelated to MetLife Stadium, but we had Cam Ward complaining about the field. in Tennessee. He's like, man, why we play on turf, but we practice on grass? Well, has to do with money and savings and field conditions. But Malik Nabers is the latest big athlete to go down on the MetLife Stadium turf with a torn ACL. He was running his route, was getting ready to jump and push off to jump to get the ball, and his leg said, no, thank you. Pretty much when he pushed off, he kind of halfway jumped, and then he fell, and that was all that she wrote. All the best to Malik Nabers in his return. Head coach Brian Daboll, he spoke about his injury and had this to say.
Well, yeah, he's one of our better players. I think one of the better players at his position in the league. So he has an ACL, so he'll be out. You know, we'll have a tremendous amount of support for him and his family. It's obviously a tough loss for our football team, but we'll regroup and we'll get the guys ready to play that are here and be as good as we can be on the perimeter. I know those guys will do everything they can do to be as good as we can be. But certainly when you lose one of your better players, that's a big loss.
Yeah, huge, huge loss. New York Giants got the Saints up next. Yeah, they got Jackson Dart. He's going to have to don't turn the ball over. If he can do what he did yesterday, I think the New York Giants are going to be fine. I think that's one of the things that they appreciate about him as well. So the New York Giants did their part, beating Los Angeles yesterday, the Chargers. And tonight, they were minutes away from the New York Jets taking on the Miami Dolphins. We got plenty of time. We'll get into some more of these other injuries throughout the NFL. Brock Purdy, last night, well, he's like, my foot bothers him. After the game, Brock Purdy looks like he's hurting. We just discussed Malik Nabers, this debut of Jackson Dart. We got two Monday Night Football games, Jets and Miami. We got Cincinnati and Denver in an hour. We got a lot to get into. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a conversation, a great one, with Sean Syed, who covers all things NFL for Sumer Sports. We're going to dive deep into the analytics and the numbers. We'll get back to your calls later on this hour. Let's have this chat with Sean on the other side of the break. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got game one of this Monday Night Football doubleheader underway in Miami between the New York Jets and the Dolphins. They are currently scoreless, and we know in about an hour from now, we have game two. We have the Cincinnati Bengals, the Burrowless Bengals, taking on the Denver Broncos to conclude week number four of the season. We've already discussed quite a few things that have taken place over the past few days, including yesterday, last night, the tie between Dallas and Green Bay. Talked about some of these big-time injuries that we've had, guys like Lamar Jackson with a hamstring. Joining us right now to talk all things NFL across the league is someone who covers the sport inside and out for Sumer Sports. It's Sean Syed. Sean, how are you, man?
Sure, I'm doing great. You know, as you said, we're ending week four here pretty soon. It's such an exciting time where you think you know a lot about some teams where really you don't know anything about all these teams that kind of have flaws at different levels.
Well, let me ask you this. Based on what we've seen already so far, just dating back to Thursday up until yesterday, what do you take as the biggest storyline so far in week number four?
No, unfortunately, the Ravens really kind of fallen off just a little bit, where now we hear that Justin Madubuike, it seems like he's going to be out for the entire season. The Kansas City Chiefs bouncing back, where it feels like Xavier Worthy gets back in the offense. He spaces things out a little bit better. You're allowed to get explosive on the outside now. That's like, I think the top line takeaway, I mean, you of course have kind of under the radar stories, I think, where Drake May is just putting together awesome performances for the Patriots and is just becoming such a fun player and building off of the things that he did last season. And then you have Puka Nacua having his career high in receiving yards for what I think might be the best offense in the league for a team that just is impossible to put away.
Well, Sean, let me ask you this. You talk about big receiving numbers. The Philadelphia Eagles, if there's one thing that they continue to do, it's go out there and win. But there's a good segment of their fan base who doesn't like, you know, how they're winning. Yesterday they beat Tampa Bay 31-25. And you have A.J. Brown who only hauls in, you know, seven yards. And people are starting to go, what's going on? What are your thoughts with the Eagles, man?
The Eagles are always such a fun team to watch. And as you said, you know, they're some of my favorite fans across the NFL because they expect a lot, as they should, when you have the most talented up and down roster in the entire NFL. And I think back to week one where the Cowboys were really able to kind of erase A.J. Brown just by playing some sort of zone coverage kind of tilted in his direction just a little bit. And as you keep on going kind of week over week, you look at their offense as a whole and you see, okay, the run game is not creating the same explosive plays as it was last year. It feels like the offensive line is not necessarily as dominant. And when I watch the film back, it's a passing game that I think is designed in ways that it feels a little bit easy to play coverage against them, where they're trying to say, hey, we're going to win one-on-one kind of all the time, and then they get to a little bit of predictability. I thought the Eagles did a really nice job in the first half being very attacking against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then it felt like, you know, the play calling just clams up just a little bit in the second half. By the time they want to get back to passing, Buccaneers cornerbacks know, hey, this is going to be a 10-yard curl route. I'm going to be able to break on this. So it's going to be something that's super interesting to monitor. Obviously, it feels a lot better to be 4-0 than to be 2-2 like last year after the Eagles lost to the Bucs in week four. And it feels like you're putting yourself in a really positive situation to hopefully just kind of clean up that division and take another division crown. But it's tough sometimes because I think Jalen Hurts is playing so well. Like his first half of this game and his second half of last game were so, so good. Just like felt like he was seeing the Matrix. Then you have those passing game designs where it feels like, okay, the defense doesn't really have much of a stress covering some of these concepts.
Now, Sean Syed is joining us from Sumer Sports, covers all things NFL. We know that the Philadelphia Eagles, they are certainly on their way to competing for another championship, barring any type of injuries. We know a team that is not doing that happens to be the Tennessee Titans. They are at the complete opposite end of the spectrum. We might have a little bit of a coaching issue with Callahan. He might be getting the boot sooner than later. What are your thoughts on these Titans? Are they going to get kind of ripped apart before the season even ends?
You know, I think at the ownership level, you have to decide if you're going to make that move, does it make sense to make that move in the middle of the season? Where are you kind of getting out in front of the market if there's some kind of person that maybe you want to get a head start on? Are you thinking of it as, look, Cam Ward is tied to this franchise. Like Cam Ward's development is probably the most important thing for the Titans for at least the next 3 years. So is, you know, removing the head coach and then maybe you bump someone else up and now you're changing who's calling plays, you're moving all of these things around. Is it going to stunt his growth in any sort of way? Where, I mean, I like the way Cam Ward plays football. Like he plays the football or plays football in just a fun way. And you see fun arm angles. You see him kind of take these shots every once in a while down the field, trying to go for big plays. So it feels like from everything we're seeing and hearing, now the head coach passes play calling off. Like that's usually unfortunately a sign before a firing might happen. Obviously, you don't want to, you know, have to have anyone's life uprooted or anything like that. But it certainly feels like for a team that you had the number one pick last year, right? You're not going to be a playoff contender, or you're generally not going to be a playoff contender the next season. It is going to be a little bit of a buildup. And then the question is, okay, now you brought in a new GM. If you move on from the head coach, you're probably not going to move on from that GM again. Now you have like this weird timeline where your GM and your head coach aren't synced up, which to me, that's always something that I look at as a potential negative. Like you want those guys kind of really married where they're on the same timeline. Like they're obviously have a little bit of different incentives where the GM's looking a little bit long-term. The head coach is trying to win this week, this game right now. So the Titans are going to be an interesting one where going into the season, it felt like, okay, this roster is not, you know, a hyper talented roster. It's going to take a little bit of time, but you still want to see, you know, steps in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, you talk about steps in the right direction. Cleveland, we know they're trying to step towards a quarterback. We know Joe Flacco is not the long-term option. They get smoked by Detroit 34-10. Joe Flacco pulled late, reasonably so. We see Dillon Gabriel. Shador is standing on the sideline. When do you think that Joe Flacco might get the hook and we see Dillon Gabriel and maybe Shador down the line?
You know, it's an interesting one, right? Because you have to assume, even going into the season, that Flacco is not going to play the entire year. And then I look at the schedule a little bit. You know, they have the Vikings overseas next week. They have the Steelers after that. Oh, maybe you wait until your bye week. But even then, I think they have a little bit of a later bye week. So do you feel comfortable waiting all that long? I'm not exactly sure, because this defense is so good. Like, they're even in a game where the Lions score 34 points. Like, you look at some of the advanced metrics. The Lions did struggle at times. You're able to get some interceptions. So it's just going to be fascinating, because, like, what do you do in that situation? Like, you assume that the guys in the room feel like, okay, this quarterback is maybe more prepared than the other between the rookie. Or they say, hey, in practice, like, these reps from this guy are looking cleaner than the other. The fans are going to continually ask, like, just give us someone else there, right? It's obviously nothing against Flacco. He's at a different part of his career. I think he knew exactly what he was sort of getting into at this point. So maybe I look at that bye week. I think their bye week might be that first week of November, and then they go play the Jets, the Ravens, the Raiders, 49ers after that, because that division, unfortunately, like, has some guys dropping off. Now, I'm not sure if the Browns are going to be a division competitor, but I just hate the idea that we're kind of wasting these Myles Garrett seasons where, I mean, this guy is transporting himself into the backfield. Like, he is, like, literally vaporizing. He's moving that fast to just beat tackles, and it stinks a little bit to feel like, oh, man, you know, Garrett's going to be just this awesome player on our team that's going to lose a bunch of games.
Yeah, well, he took the money. He had a choice. He wanted to leave until they paid him, so he's there. Sean Syed is joining us from Sumer Sports. You talk about quarterback changes. We saw what the New York Giants did with Jackson Dart. Unfortunately, he won't be able to get the ball to Malik Nabers, now gone with a torn ACL. Based on what you've seen, and sure, it's one game, and it's a lot of upside, it looks that way. Do you think Jackson Dart is really a long-term option here for the New York Giants?
That feels like it kind of has to be, right? Because if you feel like Russell Wilson's not getting your offense in the place that it needs to be, if you're Brian Daboll, it seems like, hey, maybe you're also kind of on your last year if you're not able to kind of generate stuff in the right direction. If I'm Brian Daboll, you know, we're saying, all right, I need to be tied to this quarterback. I need to help him grow. You want to just show just enough kind of good things where, you know, the first game I thought Dart really relied on his scrambling, which as a young quarterback that can move, that's athletic. I think that's an important thing to be able to do when things are muddy. I think that, you know, I'm not going to hang this performance against the Chargers in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, it's an awesome upset and an awesome win. You get a bunch of short fields, but if you're Brian Daboll, I think you're just trying to show everyone, hey, we're moving in the right direction with this guy who I just was with for a year. Let me get another shot. Let me just continue to try and build where we already have a defensive line that's super attacking. We can get things on schedule on offense, maybe go ahead and be competitive down the line in a few years.
Well, Sean, you talk about Brian Daboll coaching for his job, inserting Jackson Dart. As Monday Night Football is underway in Miami with the Miami Dolphins and the Jets, we know Mike McDaniel, he might be the guy in the stadium the most that's not a fan who really wants to avoid an 0-4 start. Do you believe he's on thin ice with owner Stephen Ross?
I mean, it seems like from the reporting that, you know, if they're not making a run at the playoffs, then it is likely that there could be changes. And it's unfortunate because I love the way that he designs an offense. I think he really sees the game in a super unique way. If he gets fired, he is going, they're probably going to go back to San Francisco, go ahead and be their run game coordinator. You're able to kind of draw those designs as maybe you get a second shot at it. It's so unfortunate kind of seeing how things have fallen out overall for the Dolphins, where they had, I mean, one magical, magical offensive season where they're so high and every single advanced metric, they're literally like changing the game in terms of how offenses use motion or how they think of, can I get this receiver running full speed before the snap? So to see it just kind of fall off, where it feels like there's not necessarily a ton of light at the end of the tunnel, just based on, you know, how that offense works. If a defense is able to get the quarterback to hold the ball for like that over two and a half seconds or really crowd that middle of the field area, just feels like there's not enough answers at some times with how the quarterback is dealing with the offense.
We'll see. Things quite peculiar with Tua Tagovailoa. He may be missing his biggest cheerleader sooner than later. We have another Monday Night Football game that will be underway in a little less than an hour from now, as the Cincinnati Bengals are going to try to bounce back from that beatdown against Minnesota 48-10. And the Denver Broncos, they're going to try to bounce back. They got a beat by the Chargers 23-20. What are you looking forward to in this game? I know nobody's trying to sit down and watch Jake Browning throw interceptions.
Look, I was talking about this with my buddies, right? Because you have both these games where there's four teams where probably not going to be teams that you're seeing late in the playoffs. Maybe the Broncos were able to do it with their defense. But before the Broncos against the Bengals, I mean, can the Broncos get 10 sacks? Like, the Bengals offensive line has really struggled so far this season. Vance Joseph is more than happy to send pressure, but he has a bunch of ferocious pass rushers up front. So, you know, maybe you look at it as, let's see how badly can the Broncos defensive line beat the Bengals offensive line. I do this like Bengals radio hit every single week where we talk through the film. And obviously after Burrow goes down, it's a tough one. And, you know, I'm concerned that when I go on tomorrow, I'm going to be almost saying like, oh, this was so much fun. It was so cool to watch. But really it was because the Broncos defensive line like set some record against the Bengals offensive line.
Well, we'll see how this game bears out. Certainly the Denver Broncos be a huge disappointment if they don't walk away with a victory tonight over these Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals. Sean, as we continue on in the season, what else are you looking forward to now that things have kind of rounded out a bit to start here?
It feels like there's so many like pretty good teams that all just have, you know, one flaw here or another flaw there, where we look at the Packers against the Cowboys, right? I want to do the whole, the Packers are the best team in the NFC, but then you look at them having some offensive line issues. You look at them having some issues in the secondary. You look at, you know, a team like the Lions where, okay, you know, you're getting things back. Certainly Aiden Hutchinson looks like he's moving on in the right direction. And just that NFC North division is so, so interesting to me because, like, when the Lions host the Packers, that's like a game that I have circled because I think the Packers do such a good job of designing offenses. It feels like, okay, this probably could be the best team in the league. And the Lions, it felt like we just kind of moved to the side a little bit where this team is actually just really, really good. Like, that's just what they are. We have to accept that. It doesn't matter what coordinator leaves. It doesn't matter who's in there, who's not. That's going to be a team that is competing there at the end. So that's like a specific game that I really am looking at. I want to see are things just going to like bite the Eagles a little bit in terms of how their passing offense is moving, in terms of how their run game is designed and hasn't been able to open things up. And I think I'm just always at the side of my eyes just going to look at the Los Angeles Rams and say, all right, well, when I get to the end of the season, now are they going to be the team that I look at and say, well, there are these bunch of teams in the NFC that we talk about every year that we expect at the top, like the Eagles, like the Lions, but maybe Matthew Stafford, you know, has that last run in him, go get a ring, you know, another one for Sean McVay for a special team.
Yeah, let's see if Matthew Stafford's back holds up enough for them to go out there and get to it. Hey, Sean, I really appreciate the support. Tell everybody where they could follow you online, where they could listen to you and everything you do with Sumer Sports.
Thanks so much. I'm on Twitter at Syed Schemes, S-Y-E-D Schemes. I post these little video breakdowns all the time that are also up on the YouTube channel for Sumer Sports, Summer with just one M. And then I do this little newsletter called the Stats and Scheme Newsletter. You go to sumersports.com/subscribe. You get advanced game breakdowns between data, between scheme notes for every single game for the whole entire season. I have a lot of fun putting it together. I've gotten some great reviews so far, so I hope you'll all join me for the rest of the season.
Hey, Sean, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Sean Syed. Covers all things Sumer Sports. Sumer Sports always diving deep into the stats and analytics regarding the game of football. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, I thought that this New York Jets and Dolphins game was going to be an interesting one. Some mistakes, some turnovers, some gunslinging action, and apparently we've already had our first turnover of the game. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I'm going to get to your phone calls, and we'll talk about some of these injuries in the NFL. But right now, what's going on with the Jets? What's going on with the Dolphins? What's going on in the world of sports? It's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood, Square. Thank you so much to Sean Syed for joining us in the last break, talking some NFL football here with us from Sumer Sports. New York Jets and Miami Dolphins are already underway. New York Jets basically fumbling the ball away at the goal line, and the Miami Dolphins are trying to get some points up on the board as well. Right now, as it stands, we've only got a field goal. The Miami Dolphins lead the New York Jets 3-2-0. In about 30 minutes, we'll have our second game in this Monday Night Football doubleheader underway as the Bengals will take on the Broncos. The Broncos are looking to even up their record at 2-2. Meanwhile, these Bengals, well, they're 2-1 without Joe Burrow. We know Jake Browning, I don't care what's taking place, he's not the best option to have out there. A complete beatdown and disaster last week. They suffered their first loss of the season against Minnesota, who stomped them out 48-10. Can the Bengals give up 48 points again? It's unlikely. I think we'll see a closer game, but the Broncos should definitely make this one. It should get ugly. Should. We'll see what Cincinnati can do. Matter of fact, we'll hear from some of their players momentarily. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Marty is here from Westchester. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Marty?
Yes, good evening, JR. Always good to talk to you. Giant game yesterday. Listen, Jackson thought, he energized the team. I think the defense was pumped up. They played their best game of the year. They were more aggressive than they've been the first few games of the year. They seem to be blitzing just a little bit more. I think Shane Bowen mixed things up a bit better. And Jackson thought did show a lot of poise. Obviously, the damper and all of this is the injury to Malik Nabers. Giants can't seem to catch a break. An afternoon where everything seemed to go right, he goes down for the year. So, I don't know. Obviously, they're going to have to adjust to it. That's a tough loss.
Oh, I mean, it's a tough loss. So before Malik Nabers showed up, it was a matter of the Giants always having to, spread the ball out to guys like Wandale Robinson being your top wide receiver, which he should not be. And I don't know if there's someone available out there that they may want to bring in to maybe possibly help. But no, it kind of sucks for Jackson Dart to miss one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. So he had to do it for the game yesterday. He's going to have to do it for the rest of the season. So I could see the Giants being more aggressive and just utilizing the run and the rush. But really stinks for Jackson Dart. We'll see what happens. But it looks like the Giants might have their QB of the future.
I hope so. Because obviously, Brian Daboll, his job is hanging by a thread. So, I mean, Jackson Dart's going to have to be his meal ticket, to save his future.
Yep, he's holding on to that one. Hey, Marty, always a pleasure. Thank you for calling from Westchester.
Anytime. Have a good evening, JR.
You as well. Shout-outs to Marty for calling from Westchester County in New York City. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. And, speaking of quarterbacks, let's talk about a quarterback. Unfortunately, he's hurt as well. That's Brock Purdy. You know, we talked about this briefly earlier on. The Jags beat the 49ers 26-21. Brock Purdy went out there, three turnovers in the game, a fumble, two interceptions, and then he got home. That foot that kept him out for the past two games with that turf toe injury, it reared its ugly head. He says by the time he got home, his foot was killing him. Here's the bad part. The 49ers are in action again this Thursday against the Rams. The bigger issue isn't just that, well, Brock Purdy's dealing with a bad foot. You got Mac Jones who's dealing with a bad knee. Mac Jones was holding it down for those two games while he was away, and so you might have two quarterbacks who are feeling really busted up. The Rams just took care of the Colts, beat them 27-20, and things are not going to get any easier here for the Niners. If they want to take solace in anything, they're 3-1. Like, they can still take a little bit of the beating as they continue to move forward. But Brock Purdy was asked how he felt after the game. Listen to this.
Felt good. Thought I was able to go out and play quarterback and give our team a chance. And so that's that.
Foot didn't bother you?
No.
Yeah, foot didn't bother him after the game. When he got home, he called Kyle Shanahan and said, coach, my foot hurts. Kyle Shanahan, he spoke to the media. And knowing that these 49ers are going to be in action again this Thursday against the Rams, Kyle Shanahan was asked about his foot for Thursday and his availability.
I think anytime guys are, hopefully we'll find out more later today, but anytime guys are sore and hurting on a Monday, you usually don't stress too much about it. But when anytime you have a Thursday game, it's a totally different element. So, I'm concerned with anybody who's not totally healthy at this moment, but we'll have to get more information on that later today to really kind of have a clue of what to speculate.
You got to sit the guy, right? He says his foot didn't bother him, but then he turned the football over three damn times. So, Kyle, did the toe bother him? Listen to this reporter.
What did you think of his game? It seemed like some passes were high and off target. I mean, does the toe factor into any of that?
You can ask him. I don't think so. And we all got to do better. He had some good plays today, but we all got to do better today.
Come on, it's a coach's job to lie. It's a player's job to lie. You got an issue? What am I going to tell you? You think Brock Purdy's going to say, I turned the ball over three times because my foot is still bothering me. I'm going to be ready for Thursday, but my foot is still bothering me. Of course not. The truth came out when he called Kyle Shanahan and said, my foot hurts. Okay, coach, my foot hurts. So a 49ers not looking good Thursday. I know it's only Monday. I can go ahead and take a safe assumption. In that game, I'm going to go ahead and take the Rams to pick up a victory against their division foe and rival in the 49ers. So good luck on that one with the 49ers. Botcher, if they need a quarterback, San Francisco, you available?
Oh, I'm available, but who am I throwing to? They're also injured everywhere, too.
Pearsall is hurt. Juwan Jennings' shoulder is hurt. So do you want to play wide receiver or QB?
I think I would rather play swing tackle. So,
okay.
Well, they also are hurt on the offensive line too. So, I don't know if I can get without being hurt during this football game.
Well, forget that. If you're going to play for the 49ers, who's producing the show on Thursday?
That's a good question. Not many people.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. Maybe I'll do double duty. I'll try my best. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The Miami Dolphins, they are trying their best to beat the New York Jets. And they just put a touchdown on the board to go ahead and do so. The Miami Dolphins just scoring. Darren Waller. Yeah, you heard me correctly. The ghost of Darren Waller. 4-yard touchdown reception. The Dolphins now lead 9-0 against the Jets, looking for the extra point. We're going to talk some more NFL on the other side, get into some NBA, get into some Major League Baseball. The playoffs start tomorrow. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.